Wednesday night, and I hope you feel that way. Appreciate you being here tonight. Now, I want you to be much in prayer for Sunday. It's a big day. It will be a day that folks will come out to church when they won't go out any other day. And let's pray. I got to give you some good news. Sunday night, if you were here, two young ladies came down the aisle and trusted Jesus as their Savior. They were so excited. And Mayla, I want to give you a little bit of background on her. Now, Brother Jim and Cindy Beeler are their neighbors, and they've had a burden for this family forever. And they've been witnessing to them forever. Several years. And Mayla started coming to church. She's the teenage daughter. And I'm telling you right now, boy, when I ended last Sunday night and gave the invitation, boy, they raised their hand down the aisle. They came. And even Abby put something up on Facebook, and she had the biggest smile. She come out of there and looked at me. She said, "Pastor, I got saved. There's nothing like it in the world." And so I'm going to tell y'all right now, if I didn't believe that, I'd quit what I'm doing right now. I think it's the best thing in the world when somebody trusts Jesus as their Savior. It's what it's all about. And so I want you to get excited about it. I want you to be much in prayer. God's working in people's hearts. I want you to pray Sunday specifically that we reach somebody. Y'all are out putting out these door hangers. And let's go out and talk to people. Invite them to church. You have a burden for somebody. Reach out to them. Tell them you'll meet them out front. And if they have children, invite them to come. Say, hey, they come. They're going to have a great time hunting these Easter eggs. I mean, we've got thousands of eggs. And I think it's the most we've ever had come in. And so it's going to be exciting. And I know there's a few that's got some good stuff in it because I tried to work on them the other day and put all of them in bags. And, man, some of them had money in it because some people didn't tape them like they're supposed to. And the money come out, but I put it back in there. And they're going to have a good time. And but you know what? You say, why do you want to have it? Well, you got to have some fun for the kids. And there's nothing wrong with the kids having fun. Plus, they're going to have a parade. I always am encouraged by the Easter parade with all the youngins. But what's most important to me is people are going to be able to hear the Word of God. And you pray. I've got two messages. It's never good, Brother Stenbridge, when you have two messages. But I got two I want to preach, and y'all better pray I don't put them both in practice. Because then I know, Brother Robert, me and you'll be the only one here. They'll be out there getting eggs, and me and you'll be sitting in here looking at each other. And but one of them, I want to preach, Why Seek Ye the Living Among the Dead? That's one. Or I could preach on the empty tomb says it all. So either one I think would be appropriate. And Mr. Vince is going to follow the Lord in baptism. And that's going to be on Sunday morning. So we're excited about that. And we've got the Lord. He's working in other people's hearts as well. So you stay tuned. Amen. I want you to open your precious Bible tonight to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. And we want to finish up today. We've been preaching for... Well, we started at the first Wednesday in February, and I've been preaching every Wednesday night on expectations of a spouse, or if you're not married, what to look for in a life's mate. There's a dual application there. Not everybody in this building tonight, and not everybody you're going to come in contact with, is married yet. So how can these scriptures help them? Well, they need wisdom on how to choose. What should they be looking for in a life's mate? I think it's the second greatest decision you ever make in your life other than getting saved. And so we've been just taking out of the book of Proverbs, and just to kind of go over review, you don't have to turn there, but in Proverbs chapter 1, the whole reason we're using this book is because it gives the table of contents in the first few verses. If we're looking for wisdom, if we want instruction, and by the way, I think we need to be wise when we deal with looking for a life's mate or being the right kind of spouse, that's going to take wisdom. So where do we find that? Where do we find true wisdom? Well, we know that comes from God, but God says when you read the book of Proverbs, you're going to attain wisdom. We all need instruction. You say, well, Pastor Mark, I don't know, or I don't know how to do such and such, or What are you talking about being a Christian father or being the right kind of husband? Well, when you read the book of Proverbs, it gives instruction. We find that the table of contents also says it's going to give us understanding. By the way, if you're going to be in any relationship, you're going to have godly understanding. Then the Bible says you're going to have equity to give the young man knowledge and discretion. All of these things you're going to find in the book of Proverbs. So we've just been going through chapter by chapter, pulling out a couple of principles or one principle and just expanding on those and duly putting them into application wherever we are in life. If you're not married, then you need to be putting these things down and say, you know what, these are some things that I need to have wisdom about, some instruction about. When I go to be courting or I'm going to go date a girl or a guy, I want to see these things in their life. So what to look for in a life's mate. But if you're married tonight, you're in a marriage, then now we can use the same principles to help us to become the spouse that God desires for us to be. So there's application for all of us. Now we're getting down close to the end. I want you to notice in chapter number 25. I want to start there tonight. Well, let's just kind of touch on, chapter 25. I want to just do a little bit of repetition from last Wednesday. Confidence, verse 19, Proverbs 25, 19. Confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. So what's the principle there? Man, I don't know about you, but this is something that all of us can strive to be. Be faithful. We ought to be faithful. Now, we ought to be faithful. If we're a Christian, we ought to be faithful to the things of God. But really, to be fair, if we're going to be the right kind of spouse, then we have to be faithful in all of our responsibilities. We've got to be faithful in all of our duties. The Bible says here that if confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth. Y'all ever had a broken tooth? You can't put anything on it. You can't trust it. You can't have any confidence. And by the way, I can tell you there's nothing more frustrating than your feet not working. And so, man, when you're trying to put confidence in that old foot and it just won't work, the Bible gives a beautiful illustration. There's someone that's unfaithful. You can't put any confidence in them. And so we ought to be faithful. And by the way, that is a characteristic that all of us can be. All of us can be faithful. I heard someone say years ago, you might not be much, but you can be faithful. So we ought to be faithful. And then we talk about in chapter number 26, where no wood is, the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Boy, here it is, someone that wants to calm things down. Now listen, this is something important because, man, you're going to have issues come up in life. You're going to have things come up. Now look. You better get good at trying to make them small because people around you will make them big. A wise person will try to make something smaller, not bigger. That's where the Bible says if there's a fire going on, you're certainly not going to throw kindling on it. If you want the fire to go out, then you learn when to be quiet. You want to make sure you're not saying certain things. The Bible says, man, if where there's no wood, there's no feeding of that fire, it's going to go out. And boy, I'm going to tell you right now, we do an awful lot of feeding. We like to flap these jaws, don't we? Appreciate the one. Maybe I'm the only one that likes to flap my jaws. But you know, here it is. Here's what I'm trying to say for somebody that's looking for a life. Let me just say this. You better be careful if you're dealing with somebody and they've always got to get the last word. That's what I'm talking about. Look, you put the fire out, not putting wood on it. So we know when to be quiet. This is a characteristic. God, look, this is wise. When we talk about relationships, these are little things a lot of people might not think about. But I'm telling you right now, it's a big deal. Where there's no wood being put on a fire, it's going to go out. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't like kindling fire. Do y'all? I like for things to be peaceful. Here's the other one. This one's simple, but look at Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1. Notice this. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know what that tells me? Trust God for today. Live for today. You say, Pastor Mark, why is this so important? Look, there's already strain and stress in this world and in our relationships because the world's going to put it on us. Just trying to live and to survive, and you got financial issues, you got social issues, you know, we've got all these things pressing in on us. And if you're going to sit there and worry about things 3 weeks from now, you're going to waste today. You're going to miss the blessings for today. And you say, Pastor, that's not that big of a deal. It is a big deal, because I'm telling you right now, you ought to enjoy every stage of your life. Now, I know I shared this last week, but I think it's important. That's something that my wife taught me. She taught me this. Because I'm a man and I like to get through. I don't like change. I like things to be the same. That's just the way it is. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I get frustrated when things change. And you know, you know, when your children in certain stages of life, man, it's, you know, you kind of get used to that. But one thing about that, your children are going to change. Things are going to change. And I'll never forget, my wife always says, you know what? I've always wanted to enjoy every stage of my children's life. I've heard people say, I've heard women say, and by the way, the illustration that I used last week, I've heard people say, well, I'll tell you right now, they're in them terrible twos. Well, you better enjoy them when they're in their terrible twos, because pretty soon they're going to be in them horrible teenage years. Amen. But again, here's the principle. I'm not going to sit and waste one day of my day today and enjoy the blessings of what God's given me today and know that I got a fear 15 years from now, my children are going to be teenagers. You say, why? Because you enjoy every day. You're trusting the Lord for every day. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Now look, we don't want to preach to people all the time, but I'm going to tell you something. When we fret and we worry, you know what? We're just telling on ourselves. We're telling on ourselves. Well, what are we telling? We need to trust Him for today. We're trying to do it ourselves. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Trust God day by day. Here it is. Just live life by the day. That seems small, but it's a big deal. Faith for the future. How do we deal with our future? Do you know that I know people, and I'm not going to say that I've not done it before. Do you know I know people, and possibly I've done it, in my life, that I'm so worried about something in the future that I become a bear today. I get frustrated and aggravated today and take it out on everybody. So from time to time, I'll get a call and they'll be talking to me, and Pastor, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I said, well, listen, let's just stop right there. Let's not worry about that. We have enough today. Let's not, because most of the time, you know what we do? We worry about things that we don't even know for sure is going to happen. So, again, trust God for the day, live life by the day. The just shall live by faith. That means every moment, every day, every week, every month, God gives us victory when we trust Him by faith. You know what? It takes stress away. It takes stress away. It takes worry away. What's the Bible say? Be anxious for nothing. What's that word anxious mean? That means very simply, we're not to worry and fret about it. But what? But with everything in prayer and supplication. It ought to drive us to pray. So we ought to live life by the day. Here's another one. I think this is a powerful one. I remember hearing a message in this when I was in college. I'd never heard preaching like this in my life. Proverbs 28 verse 1, look at it. And boy, this is a powerful verse. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. You know what we need a great revival in today? And here's the principle, here's the expectation, here's what you ought to be looking for somebody, and if you're looking for somebody that's a life's mate, they ought to be bold, they ought to stand boldly for Christ. Listen, we live in a day where wickedness, man, these wicked people, they're loud. They're bold. I mean, they just stand right there in the middle of society and they say, I dare you to say a word to me. This is my life. This is my body. This is the way I want to do it. And they're so bold. And I'm afraid we live in a day where Christians have gotten so cowardly. Can I say to every man here just a minute? I want to say, when I was a boy, and I still think men are men when they love to hunt and fish. Man, that's all I knew, man. Growing up, I said, man, he's a big man. He can hunt. He can fish. But you know what? Through the years, I've learned that really don't take a man to do that. I'm going to tell you what I have learned. It takes a man to have a backbone like an oak log to stand for Jesus. I'm telling you right now, it takes a man like an oak log in this society to stand for Jesus. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to get ridiculed. You're going to be made fun of. You're going to be looked at like you're weird. You're going to be talked about. And here's what's sad. Sometimes your family won't even understand you. So you know what happens? A lot of times, boy, what we do is we just tone that thing down. Well, I'm a Christian, but you know, I don't want anybody to know about it. Everybody ought to know about it. And listen, gentlemen, we ought to lead. We ought to lead. Now listen, I'm in May, Lord willing, I'm going to be going to Kenya, Africa for 10 days to preach to 100. We're going to have a seminar there, a pastor's conference for 150 Kenyan African pastors. And they've asked me to speak on the home. Now I went there back in 2008, and I'm going to tell you one thing that I noticed. And if any of my Kenyan friends are on tonight online, you're going to hear this again. One thing I noticed. Y'all know what I noticed? I wasn't there long, and I noticed I never seen one woman smile there. I never seen her smile. You know why? I'm going to tell you why. The culture over there is different. I'm not trying to be ugly, but their culture, they buy their wives. They have to pay a dowry for their wives. So in their mind, culture, it's a very rough culture. I've never seen one man show affection to his wife, not one. Not one. Now, I didn't go over there and preach on that back in 2008, but I'm going to tell you something that's been burning on me. So when Brother Ron said, hey, we want to go over, we want to try to teach them, he said, I think their greatest need is the home. Here's why. Their culture is dictating, and I just want everybody to know something. This book always even, oh, this is even more authoritative than what culture is. God's word, when it comes to the home, you know what the Bible says that the husband is supposed to do? The husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And I know over there as well, the same problem that I think plagues our country is I've noticed, and I'm not saying it's in our church, but I've noticed overwhelmingly in churches like ours, more women serve than men do. Got quiet. I'm not saying in our church, but I'm talking about when you talk about a work of a church, or I'm telling you right now, overwhelmingly, by the way, who usually in a home makes sure the kiddos are ready and get them to church? Who usually in our society today, if they're going to go to church, mom's going to get them ready and make sure they're going out the door? It should not be that way. You know who should be the cheerleader there? And by the way, not with pom-poms and a dress. But you know who ought to be leading that charge? The man ought to be. You know why? Because I love Jesus. He died for me, and we're going to stand for him. As Joshua said, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's boldness. Stand for Jesus. I'll tell y'all right now, if my wife would have known me, and here's what I'm going to say, because it gives everybody hope. I had very few of these principles in my life when Laura married me. Just going to be honest with you, especially this one. Bold for Jesus? Nah. Scared to death. I wish I could go back. You know why? Because in my high school, I doubt anybody even really even knew I was a Christian. I've shared this with you before, And what's amazing, this past September, I finally found out about this young man. But there was a young man in our high school. It was a Summers County High School. And we had two other junior highs in our county, or it was in our county. And so when they got into 10th grade, they would merge to the high school. And there was this young man from Sandstone. Sandstone, Ramp Road. I mean, them were country boys, hillbilly boys down there, even more so than us up on that end. Man, they were down there at Sandstone. And man, that whole group came in 10th grade. And there was this man's name, young man by the name of James Mowell. He was a preacher. Man, he came in there in 10th grade, and all my friends, man, we'd see that guy. And you know what? Sadly, I was a Christian, but you know what? I made fun of him. I made fun of him. I said, yeah, what's he, holier than thou? Where's he preaching at? He's just a kid. I'm going to tell you something, boy. He stood for Jesus in high school. He didn't care who made fun of him. He didn't care who wasn't with him. And by the way, I just found out, I talked to a lady that grew up with him. I went and preached a revival in September at Cook's Chapel Baptist Church. And Cynthia Bennett Gore was there. She was raised down there at Sandstone with him. She was at church every night, her and her husband. And I brought James up during the service. She came up to me after the service. She said, I want you to know, James died just 2 years ago. He said, I'm going to tell you something about James. She said, he stood for Jesus till the day he died. I'm telling you right now, we ought to stand boldly for Christ. Look, hey, look, we got to, but listen to me, gentlemen. If you're going to do it, you're going to have a backbone like an oak log, because not everybody's going to understand you. But here's why we do it. Here's why we're bold. It's in the verse, the righteous, see? Here's why, because we know he saved us. We know that he loves me. And because he loves me, I love him back, and I'm going to stand for him. Amen? And we all ought to stand for him. How many of you are going to stand up for somebody that you love? Well, we ought to be standing up for the Lord Jesus. Boldly, we ought to proclaim his name. And I want you to know, we should never, ever, ever be ashamed of Jesus. Here's another one, Proverbs 29. I'm going to hurry. Proverbs 29, verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Here it is, just simple. We ought to have a humble spirit. Ought to have a humble spirit. Humility is a wonderful characteristic, and it's found rarely. It's a beautiful characteristic. When you find somebody humble, boy, it's a blessing to be around people like that. We ought to be that way. We ought to be humble. We ought to allow the Lord to break us. And by the way, I will say this. The Lord knows how to humble you. And by the way, there's a lesson within that. If he is trying to humble you, you can tell a lot of who you're dealing with how he responds to that. We ought to understand that God wants us to be humble and depend on him. God can humble us. Quickly, I got a couple more, and then I want to close with a principle. I want you to notice in Proverbs chapter 30, here's the verses. There is a generation, this is verse 11 through 14. I'll read them quickly. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor off the earth and the needy from among men. Beside verse 11, I have, this is a disrespectful generation. Beside verse 12, I have a defiled generation. Beside verse 13, I have a deceived generation. Then in verse 14, I have a destructive generation. And we've seen all of these. But here's the principle. I can say to you, there was a time that I was disrespectful. There was a time that I was defiled. There was a time that I was deceived, and no doubt there was a time that I was destructive. And no doubt every one of us have the same kind of testimony. But here's what the qualification or the expectation as a spouse that we ought to be, or if we're looking for someone for a life's mate, we ought to know that our lives or their lives has been changed by God. I want you to think about that a moment. How much has God changed you? Isn't that an amazing thing when you look back over your life and you see how God has written your heart? You say, well, Pastor, I don't have a long history of the Lord working in my heart. Well, get ready. He's going to do it. That's the way He works. He doesn't come into somebody's life to leave you like you are. He comes into your life to make you more like Him. And we ought to know that our life has been changed by God. And by the way, you ought to be able to talk about it. We ought to be able to talk about it. At the marriage retreat this year, you know, I just gave everyone, all the couples, homework. So look, I want everybody here to give their testimony to their spouse. I had several couples, Laura and I had several couples come up to us and said, you know what? We never heard our spouse's testimony. I didn't know how my wife got saved. I didn't know how my husband got saved. Listen, this is where we begin, because we ought to all know that God has changed our hearts. This is a beautiful thing when we start talking to one another in this type of relationship, and we can talk about, hey, I want you to know the Lord's working with me here. He's talking to me here. He's dealing with me here. And then it's a beautiful thing to sit there as a loved one or a spouse, and you're seeing the very change right in front of your eye. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? And we ought to be able to talk about how God has changed our lives. Amen. We can and we will testify to the effect that God has changed them. And listen to how people talk. This is getting down nitty gritty now. Have y'all ever just been around? Do you know what I like? I like when people talk about the Lord like they know Him. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They talk about the Lord like they know Him. In a personal way. Because by the way, He's my personal Savior. He's your personal Savior, so we ought to be able to talk about Him like we know Him. So why in the world would we be ashamed to talk to someone else that we love about the greatest one that we love? And then I'm going to close with this, because it's the last chapter. Powerful chapter, Proverbs chapter 31. We know that's considered to be the virtuous woman chapter. Powerful. I would encourage every lady to read it. But there's a couple of verses there towards the end. Really, there's one that I think would draw our attention. We could pull out many things in this passage. Verse 10, 11, and 12 is powerful. But here's the principle. I want you to notice in verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Here it is. We ought to be a praiseworthy example. If someone's following me, where am I going to take them? If somebody's following you, where are you going to take them? That was powerful today, Mr. Tiffin. It was a little poem basically written. He had it taped in his Bible. I read it today. He's talking about walking in his daddy's shoes. At the very end, the dad sat there and looked at his son and noticed that his son was following his example. And here's what the dad said. He said, Lord, please help me to lead him closer to Thee. Can I ask y'all that question? Are we leading people closer to the Lord? The way I live, my example of my life, and look, by the way, look, I'm not perfect and neither are you. It doesn't mean that you're never going to make mistakes, but it's how we respond to them. A praiseworthy example. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Why? Because she's lived a life that her children can follow, and they praise her. They're blessed to be able to say, that's my mom. She's loved the Lord. She's been faithful. She's tried to, and even if she's made mistakes, she's responded to her mistakes. There's great lessons in that. Praiseworthy example. We've went through 31 chapters, and we've given a principle out of each chapter from the table of contents. Wisdom, instruction, discretion, knowledge. But I want to close with making this statement. We have no right to expect from someone else that we're not willing to be ourselves. Just as I trust the Lord, as you trust the Lord, and you give the Lord your heart, and He becomes a source of strength, it should be the same in our relationships. Would you turn with me to one passage of Scripture, and I'm going to close with this. And I hope if you don't hear anything else tonight, I pray you'll get a hold of this. This is one verse that I use and have used, we have used many, many times in counseling with couples. One of the most powerful verses I've ever, ever applied to my life. Psalm 62, verse 8. Psalm 62, verse 8. Of course, this is a psalm of David, and we know here in this particular passage of Scripture, he's talking about the Lord. But I want you to notice this. Here's what David said. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Now, we know this is talking about a relationship with the Lord. By the way, we can trust Him at all times. Can I get a witness? Amen. We can trust Him at all times. And you know what? When we know we can trust Him at all times, what do? We pour our heart out to the Lord. You're safe to pour your heart out to the Lord. You're safe. So we trust Him, we pour our heart out to Him. And then I want you to notice what happens in this relationship with the Lord. He becomes a refuge for me. He becomes a great strength. I can lean on Him. I can help Him. Why? Because I've trusted Him, I've poured my heart out to Him, and He's became a great strength. Now that's a beautiful picture between man and God. But can I say we use this same principle in our relationships? Here's the beautiful picture. We ought to be able to trust in one another. You ought to be able to trust your spouse. You ought to be the kind of spouse that's trustworthy. And that doesn't mean that you've never made a mistake. It's how you respond to it. But you ought to be able to trust. You ought to be building. Your relationship is a relationship that you're building a confidence and a trust. Why? Because you trust one another. See, when you trust someone and you know each other has each other's best in mind, here's what happens. You start giving that person your heart. Here's the scariest thing. Let me say, if you're here tonight and you're not married, it's a dangerous thing for you to give somebody your heart that is not worthy of it. You should never give your heart. Can I just say, Mr. Aiden, you mind me talking to you because you're single and enjoy being single. But can I say to you, just absolutely straight down to you, listen to me. You'll be in a miserable day, in a miserable life, if you give your heart to somebody that you can't trust with it. So see the principle? You trust. We trust the Lord at all times. Then we pour out our heart. We give Him our heart. And then notice what He becomes. He becomes a strength. But look what happens in our relationships. Once we trust one another, we're giving each other our heart. Look, guess what? We become a strength for one another. You know one reason why I can pastor this church? Yeah, I'm just being honest. Sometimes I leave here as defeated and as discouraged, and you'd never know it. And I get in my car. And my wife looks at me and she says, honey, that was a powerful message. You know what she just did? She became a strength to me. You know why we get this thing backwards? We want to try to fix everybody. And what we do is we nitpick with everybody, thinking everybody ought to fix them. But listen, here's what happens. If we just trust one another, we build that confidence level in one another, then we start sharing our hearts. See, and by the way, in a married couple, you ought to be sharing your heart with your spouse. It ought to just be second nature. See, you start giving in, giving your heart, and then here's what happens. Next thing you know, man, that's the strongest tower you got in your life, physically speaking. And that's exactly what we've tried to say in all 31 chapters. Why should I expect something from her that I'm not willing to be myself? But when I trust the Lord and I have confidence in the Lord and I give my heart to the Lord, he becomes a great strength. Listen, it ought to be the same in our marriages. We ought to be the greatest strength as a spouse. Amen. God help us to pattern ourselves after the principles of God's word. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. And as we close tonight, I want all of you to know at any service, at any time, the altar is always open. And even if this altar, and we don't play the piano, and we don't even have an altar call, which we normally do, I want you to know I'm available all the time. There's no place like the present to do business with God, whatever that might be. And so I hope and pray that if God spoke to your heart tonight, you'll say yes to it. As Brother Cobby prayed, if there's someone here tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, tonight's the night. He'll save you tonight. I promise you. You can take care of that thing tonight. And I promise you this, you walk out of this building, you can be, hey, peaceful as can be. Amen. With head bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask that she's just going to play something on the piano just for a moment. I'm going to ask you, would you just examine your heart? Let the Lord have His way. Can I just ask this? How many of you, you've appreciated the principles from Proverbs and been convicting, challenging, helpful? How many of you would say, what say you? You say that's been a blessing. Would you slip your hand up? God bless you. Let's ask God to help us. Amen. Whatever it might be, He'll help you. Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. We want to thank You for Your word. We thank You for these simple principles. They're simple but powerful. And Lord, I wish I knew them all when I got married. But Lord, through the years, You've certainly helped me. And Lord, I've seen You help others. And Lord, I just pray You'll help us to stay teachable. And Lord, I pray You'll help us just to have a desire to be Christ-like. And we'll thank You for what You do. Please help all of us to get home safely tonight. Bring us back the next appointed time. And Lord, we're excited about being able to celebrate Your resurrection on this Lord's Day. I pray You'll bless. And we'll thank You for what You do. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people say it. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. Please be